Must have been from some nearby military base. They were wingtip to wingtip. Locked in the attack mode. Practicing somewhere. Waiting for the ultimate test. I stopped right in the middle of K Street and stood there, watching those planes. Horns started blowing. A thang said, "Honey, you're blocking traffic. You gotta move across the street." But no, I just stood there. She said, "Those planes remind you of Nam, don't they?" I said, "Yeah. Yeah, they do." She said, "You want to talk about it? Maybe it'll make you feel better." I said, no, I don't like to talk about it. She said, "Come on, and then maybe you get it off your chest." I said, "No." She said, "Well, you don't hear it." I said, "All right." The name on my uniform said Grease Minnelli, but everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury. Quang Tree, 1967. A hot day, and we were deep in the poop. We're getting it from all sides. Flankers! I need flankers! But looks like we're going to be on the run anytime. Come on, Gallant, check it! Is it a tennis game? Fire! But before you know it, the concentration of enemy fire was so heavy that I knew we were going to be overrun at any time. So I grabbed the walkie-talkie. I said, "This is Bravo 1 Ranger to carrier support. We need napalm. We need it now."
Roger, Bravo Force 1. This is carrier. Unfortunately, we can't send you any help right now. The pilots are having breakfast. As soon as they finish their breakfast, we'll get them right out to you. Roger, is that in the phone?
I said, "Wait a minute. What kind of... You hear that? We're about to be overrun. Tell them they can skip their marina for wine. We're crying out loud."
Right, looks like they just finished. They'll be out there to you at any time.
I said, "I can't believe this. I just can't believe this."
I'm taking heavy casual. Finally, in the distance, I could see them like two specks in the sky. They came roaring low over the horizon. They saw the enemy positions, and they opened up.
Those rice patty daddies blow up into a million pieces. The men stood up and cheered as we watched the napalm cover the hill.
And we knew we'd live to fight another day. Well, as the plane was passing by, the plane that gave us the napalm, we saw a surface-to-air missile blast off the ground. We saw that hot red ball of fire. I thought, my God, I could see the pilot taking evasive action. I could see him moving to the left, move to the left, move to the right, move to the right, move to the left, move to the left, move to the right. But no, that surface-to-air missile stuck with him, and finally... Scratch one Skyhawk! But then I saw a chute open up. And sure enough, here comes Flyboy drifting down. He grabbed his impact flight walkie-talkie and said,
"This is Commander Johnson. Commander, I've just been shot down. Can I get some ground support? There's NVA all over the place."
I said, "Come on! Marines! Ah! Ah!"
We marked the coordinates on the map, and we went in there screaming! But we smoked what Charlie's there were. And he cut the chute off his back and stood there and said, "My God, thank you. You saved my life." And I said, "Don't worry about it there, Commander. You saved our lives, too." And the tears were rolling down his cheeks. I said, "What are you crying about? Did you lost your aircraft?" He said, "No. They're serving beef broche on board the carrier this evening, and I'm going to miss dinner." I said, "Well, hey, you're breaking my heart. Here, you can have some sea rations with us." He said, "Is there a place I can freshen up?" I looked at him. I said, "Hey, Marines don't freshen up! Eat with your dirty hands, for crying out loud!" He said, well, where are the facilities? I've got to go." I said, "Facilities? Facilities? This whole country is facilities! Just drop trowel in the bushes over there, for crying out loud! What do you want, a porcelain convenience?" And so, disgusted as he was, used to life on the aircraft carrier with all its plush conveniences, he got used to it, though. He got used to it. He remembered what it was like to be a Marine! A Marine! Back before he got his wings, back when he was in the mud, living wet, living with leeches, he remembered! We took him through the whole rest of our search and destroy mission. Before you knew it, he was firing an M16, throwing a bayonet, lobbing grenades. Just like one of us. And a month later, when we were on R&R, we got a postcard from Commander Johnson inviting us to see the carrier. I said, guys, what do you say? And sure enough, we went out to the carrier and we sat there. All of us battle-hardened Marines with our wasted-looking faces and our hollow eyes sat around the carrier around all those fat guys eating them good meals. And I could tell all the men were thinking the same things. Kalachecki was sitting there bending forks in his bare hands. Robinson got so mad he went to sip some of the white wine they served us and bit half of the glass off. Shapiro was retching in the head. But I said, hey, you guys mind if we take a walk around here? They said, no, have fun. You got any questions, come back. So I grabbed all the men. We went to the flight deck. And we stole flight suits. And we put on helmets so they couldn't recognize us apart from the other guys. I said, men, what do you say you and I do a little target of opportunity? They said, but we don't know how to fly. I said, what do you want to know? You put it full throttle, it catapults you off the deck. You pull back on the stick, it goes up. You push forward, it goes down. What's to learn? What do you need, a Harvard degree? They said, well, I know. I said, watch me. And so we all climbed into aircraft and sat there waiting. The flight boss came out. All he could see was a helmet-covered head in there. He didn't know it wasn't Commander Johnson. He didn't know it wasn't Commander Culpepper. All he saw was a form in there. And sure enough, we gave him the thumbs-up sign. And I couldn't believe it when the engine started to throb underneath me. It was wonderful feeling their power. They waved and off we went! And sure enough, one by one, we took off. One by one, we took off. We heard the call from the carrier.
Attention, attention, unauthorized use of aircraft. Keep in mind, radar shows you in Hanoi. Hanoi is an unauthorized target. Repeat, return to carrier immediately.
I keep my mic and I said, Hanoi just became authorized. Come on, man, Marines! Yeah! We took the war into our own hands. I noticed the fuel was getting a little low, so we headed back to base. I opened the cockpit just so I could enjoy a camel as we flew back at 10,000 feet. One by one, we landed. One by one, those arresting cables brought us to a dead stop without the loss of a single aircraft. Needless to say, our welcome was far from a warm one. They snatched us out of those planes. They dragged us across the flight deck to the captain's quarters. He sat there unbelieving. He said, my God, you men must be insane. Do you realize that this is a war being run by the United States Army, the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, not a war run by Sergeant Fury and his men? When there's a battle to be fought, we'll decide it. When there's a country to be attacked, we'll decide it. When there's war to be waged, we'll wage it. You do not take the war into your own hands and jeopardize everything we've worked for the last 6 years. Is that understood? We screamed in unison. Yes, sir! He walked up and down the line, eyeing each man. He said, what have you men got to say for yourselves? And in unison, with tears in our eyes, we looked at each other. We looked at him and we said, we